So glad to be here. Okay, so Pastor Mike, how long do you usually preach? 15 minutes? No, he's looking at me like, oh. How much time do I have? I'm good. I mean, I'm good. An hour, an hour. I want to believe that report right there. Oh, man, it's awesome. I've got a great team at home, and what I'll do is on Sundays, if we're away ministering, I'll call them. And one time I had one of my elder pastors speak for me, and it was Brian. You guys know Brian and Cindy. And so I call him and say, hey, how'd it go, bro? And he goes, I'm so sorry. And I'm going, what happened? What happened? He said, I'm so sorry. I preached for an hour and 15 minutes. And I'm like, honey, you just shrunk the church. It's good. I didn't call him honey, though. God is good. It's so it's good to be here. We've been here enough. It feels like family. We've had Pastor Mike and Cheryl come and minister with us a number of times. And I think the last time they came up, we got them lost on four wheelers up in put them on four wheelers to take them up in the mountains But it was good. We got him back down in time to preach on Sunday, and so everything was saved. But it's an honor to be here, and we thank you for opening your hearts to us. And just in praying, just trying to say, God, just use us to sow something that bears fruit. And I want to talk to you this morning about hearing God, about hearing from God. Hear God. I want you to hear God this morning. One of the probably the most asked questions that I have as a pastor, as a shepherd, is how do I hear God? Man, I got some decisions. How do I hear God? I got some things to do. How do I hear God? Amen. So let me just open with a quick word of prayer, and then I'm going to just kind of deliver what God put on my heart for you. Amen. Jesus, I thank you this morning as we come together for a relationship of the kingdom, that God, your church is amazing. It's amazing all over the world. It's amazing in Pflugerville, it's amazing in Old Town, it's amazing in Zimbabwe and other places and parts, Lord Jesus. And I thank you that there's a connectivity, that it's your word, it's your spirit, it's the kingdom that connects us together, and that relationship is the currency of the kingdom. Father God, I love you, we love you. I pray that God, you help me to teach clearly this morning, to communicate clearly what you put on my heart for this amazing congregation, this amazing church family here this morning, in Jesus' name. And they all said amen. So you guys all used to helping your pastor preach. I mean, you know, give me an amen, give me a, you know, I mean, sometimes you go into places and they're not. I really try to help our congregation when we have special ministry. I said, listen, help them preach, pull it out of them, give them amen, it's in the house, come on, you know, that kind of stuff. It really helps. There's times when I went to preach somewhere and there's nothing, and it's frightening. It's like people are like a mule staring at a new gate. You know, it's just like, you know, it's like, is anything hitting here? This is crazy. Is anything happening? You know, did you have your coffee this morning? Amen. I mean, if you had your coffee this morning, you'd need to upgrade your coffee because there's something that's not happening. But I want to encourage you this morning on the importance of learning to hear the voice of God. Listen, relationships in general are dependent on communication. Have you realized that? I mean, have you realized that? Robbie and I have been married for, it's going to be 36 years this August. I know she looks young. Doesn't look like she ought to have 6 grandkids. I told somebody the other day, I said, man, I got 6 grandkids. I don't feel like I'm old enough. And they weren't very gracious. They said, well, you are. So, oh, man. But our relationship, most of the issues that we've had in our relationship, listen, if you've been married for 36 years, you've had some issues. You've had some stuff that you've been married for a year. You've had some stuff you got to walk through. Amen. Come on, somebody give me an amen. And so what happens, though, is communication is the most difficult part of anything. You know, if you think about this, when there's a relational difficulty, when there's a conflict, the sound can escalate or the sound can go away. Talk to the hand. Right? Well, it's been that way from the beginning. There's something that we have to understand, because even in silence, there can be some sort of message that gets sent. How many of you realize, I just got the silent treatment? Listen, your dog can give you the silent treatment. Adam, in the beginning, heard the sound of God walking in the garden. I want you to grab a hold of this. Adam, in the beginning, heard the sound of God walking in the garden. It says in Genesis 3, verse 8 through 10, they heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid myself." The word in the Hebrew there is shama, and it means simply this: to hear or to give undivided attention. God's intent for relationship with Adam from the beginning was that there would be an undivided attention that was given from God to Adam and from Adam to God. And that was the epitome, that was the pure, that was the amazing relationship that God desired. God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to have your undivided attention, and God wants to give you His undivided attention. From that time on, there's been this difficulty and challenge in hearing from God. Or if we do hear, come on, let's be honest. We hear from God, and then we need courage to obey. There's been times, man, when I've known what God wanted me to do, but just to obey is like, oh, God, I don't know. So we have to grasp a hold of that. But our culture and our lifestyle today is noisy. They're not too many people, if you think about this, that are comfortable with silence. Listen, have you ever been to a place where they said, "We're going to have a moment of silence"? And then you're just like, because our culture is not comfortable with silence. There's a noise that's created. There's a noise that's created practically, spiritually. I mean, people come up to our house, and we live in this house that's kind of up in the woods, up in Idaho. You know, and I know, anybody been to Idaho? It's like way up there. It's a long ways away. But it's kind of interesting, because more times than not, we'll have somebody come and stay with us, and one of the first things they comment on is, "It's so quiet up here." So, especially if you come from L.A. or you come from, you know, somewhere that's just busy. But our culture today is noise. Listen, you might even be alone and you can't stand the thought of silence. You'll start talking to yourself, don't you? I mean, seriously, I see people talking to themselves all the time. See, but it's not personal even to be able to hear the voice of God. It's not just personally the heart of God, the direction of God. It's for our marriages, it's for our families, it's for our businesses and our communities. And there are actually people that are dying spiritually that need to hear the sound of God, the sound of the gospel, which is Jesus. And then there is redemption, hope, restoration. In Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 5, it says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple." There's my ear. "And the Lord has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back." What the prophet is writing is, he said, there's another translation that says, it says, "The Lord God has given me an instructed tongue, that I might have a word in season for the weary." So it's almost like what God wants to do, what this prophet was waking up to, is he's saying, every morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to give God my ear. I'm going to give Him my undivided attention, because I know that He wants to put something into me that actually will be reproduced. See, we are created to reproduce the sound of God. Now, I don't know if that scares you, but that's actually what the principle is. God wants to speak to you so you can actually not only walk in wisdom, not only your steps will be directed, your steps will be ordered, but there are people that are actually weary out there, and they're waiting for you to duplicate, to replicate that sound. The Lord God has given me an instructed tongue that I might have a word for the weary. Well, you can't have that if you don't listen, and if we don't learn how to listen. If we truly read and believe the Bible, we find there's no argument that God wants to walk with us, direct us, speak to us, impact us relationally. And most of us would say this. My life would have been better. I mean, looking back. Now, we don't live by looking back because it's really hard to drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. But I think most of us would say this. My life would have been better if I'd have listened to God. Come on, can we say amen? Is that a true word? And then one of the questions asked by most people is how do I hear God? And I think we misunderstand how important it is to be able to hear God for those around us. See, when a man is able to hear from God, it has a capacity to change his family, to change his marriage, to change his children. When a businessman has the ability to hear from God, the workplace and the environment that he's in is divinely influenced. There was a morning where I was just kind of in prayer, and you know, I had my divine cup of coffee, and I saw we lived in kind of a split level home, and I saw my wife coming down, and I just kind of said, Lord, what do you think of my wife? I mean, that's what it is. Lord, what do you think of my wife? And the scripture came to my mind just like that. Says she's fearfully and wonderfully made. And so I was like, whoa, that's heavy. That's better than anything I could have invented. I mean, seriously, in my own imagination, it's just like, okay, I love you like, from above, like a dove coming down. Fearfully and wonderfully made. And so when she came down, I said, Robbie, I just was praying to God and asked him what he thought of you. And boom, he said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Man, she just went, woo, okay, that's awesome. See, if you hear from God and reproduce the sound, it's going to bless people. It's going to lift them up. It's going to help direct some things in their life. That's why it's necessary to hear from God. So this morning, I want to take the story of Samuel being directed by the Lord to focus on living a life that hears, is directed by God and influences a man and ultimately influences a nation. I want to take that story. And 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15. If you have your Bibles, you're taking notes. I think we have it up on there. There we go. It says, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear. I love that. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear, the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. He shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have seen my people because their cry has come to me. Now let me just kind of give you context of this. Listen, the Lord had spoken to Samuel in his ear because God had purposed that his people had been oppressed by an enemy for too long. So God says, I'm going to make a sound that will actually change that situation. Now that's really crazy to me because I'm sure that Samuel just was like, okay, I'm getting up. I'm just going through the stuff. And God had seen had heard the cries. God had heard the cries of his people. And so he decides to speak in Samuel's ear something that would eventually influence a nation. This is crazy. I mean, this is crazy, good God stuff, crazy. And in the story, Israel has demanded a king, and God's going to grant them their desire. But we see that God speaks to Samuel, and then things change for a young man named Saul. Let's look in 1 Samuel 9, verse 3. It says, now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise and go look for the donkeys. Now, how many of you have ever been raised up like in farm life? The cows got out, horses got out, goats got out, chickens got out, turkeys got out, whatever I did. And it's like mama saying, hey, go get those cows back in. Oh, man, that is the highest calling. Not. But here's what's happening. So Saul is just basically out there hunting donkeys. He's a donkey hunter. So I'm going to go find my father's donkey. You know, we don't know how many times those donkeys had got out. Those donkeys probably got out time and time again because the automatic response was, go find the donkeys. And yet Saul has no idea he's about to be encountered by a man of God that God has spoken into his ear and it will change his destiny forever. Think about this. So Samuel encounters Saul and begins to speak to Saul. Remember that God had already whispered in his ear. 1 Samuel 10:5 through 6, he says to him, after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come down there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. And then the Spirit of God will come upon you and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Whoa. He went from being a donkey hunter to the next king of Israel. Because God had taken a man named Samuel and spoke something into his ear, encountered him, released the sound, and it changed his destiny. Now, we know that later on, Saul didn't do well, but he started out well. And this is what God did. Now, I don't want to focus so much on Samuel, but I want to focus on Samuel. So Samuel was used here and in many other ways by God, and it was predicated on his ability to hear from God and obey God. And he had something to say because he was positioned to hear. It's really important that we understand how you are positioned to hear. It says in Habakkuk, I will station myself on the rampart. I didn't even know. I hope this is good. I mean, this could have been like that faux furniture, you know, just fake. And the bam. I will position myself on the rampart. I will watch to hear what he would say to me. See, that's what God is looking for. He's looking for position for people that understand how important it is to position themselves. Hey, bro, I can't hear you. I can't hear. I'm going to get a little closer. I'm going to incline my... That's what God's looking for, so that we can hear from him. Position is so important. Not like corporate position, but positioning to hear. Like I coached basketball for a number of years, and one of the first things that you teach athletes is correct position, correct defensive position. You know, come on, get down into it. You know, I want to see your stance. I want to see your defensive stance. I want to see you do closeouts. I want to see, but you got to be in right position. When I was growing up in high school, junior high school, I was like a wheeler dealer with cars. Man, I'd buy a car. I was talking to Pastor Mike. I had a 65 Mustang. I had a 64 Impala SS. I had a 53 or 55 Chevy pickup, and I'd do a deal, and I'd trade a car, and I'd get a paint job. I actually had so many cars then, I wasn't 18 yet, that my mom got a letter from the state of Washington and said, if you buy or sell one more car, you have to get a used car dealer license. But in that whole thing, I mean, I love that stuff. I had a car that was just like, It was that 64 SS, had a 327 in it. I don't know if you any gearheads in here. Beautiful, man. It had like side pipes, and it had like, I mean, the paint job was amazing. The problem was it had a really bad ring in it, so it would smoke like a chimney. So strategically, you just sneak it out and park it somewhere. Then you get out, and it looks like $100. It's a chick magnet. You know what I mean? But I got so used to seeing position, and my wife laughs at me today because I could see a car that was like half a mile away and say, that car's going to be for sale. She says, how do you know? I says, because I know the position. I know it's going to be positioned. Position is important. And God is asking you to consider your life to consider your ways, to consider your business, to consider your relationships, and consider how are you positioned, because he wants to speak into your ear. It's a word that will change your life, and it's a word that will change the lives of others around you. God may want to give you a word that will change your marriage. God may want to give you a word that will change your children. God may want to give you a word that changes your community, change your workplace. That's the God that we serve, that we know. So how did Samuel develop this? How did he develop the ability? Because I think it's one thing for a pastor, teacher, to get up and tell you, you need to do this. But we always want to give you some tools. And I think there's some real tools here that when we look at the life of Samuel, won't take us long. Are you hanging with me? Won't take us long to get through it. How did Samuel develop this? How did it start? Number one, a parenting influence. Might surprise you. Parenting influence. The story of Samuel begins in 1 Samuel 1:1 with Elkanah and Hannah. Parents that are faithful. Parents that seek God. It says that year after year and as often as they went to the house of the Lord. So they positioned their family in this atmosphere that taught him how to hear from God. I tell people, both of my boys are, my youngest boy, Joel, is on staff with us as our associate pastor, generations pastor, and my older son is on staff with Pastor Doug Sherman and Grace Harvest as his worship pastor. And I tell people all the time, growing up, my kids had a drug problem. I drug them to church. I drug them Sunday, I drug them Sunday night, I drug them Wednesday night, I drug them to youth camp. I'd make sure they were in baseball camp, I'd make sure they were in basketball camp because they were athletes, but I'm telling you what, I also made sure they were in youth camp. That was not an option. I'm going to have a strategy, and I'm going to have a strategy to grow them educationally. I'm going to have a strategy to just open things for the other things they do, but they had a drug problem. And I think Samuel had a drug problem. Year after year, and as often as they went to the house of the Lord, I love that. It speaks of a consistent faith, consistent community. And they created an atmosphere of commitment to the things of God. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Listen, if there's been any... I tell people all the time, I am a failed, flawed success story. I'm not successful because of my background. I'm not successful for anything that I've done, my education, my experience. It's because God saved me. And God planted me into. I didn't have a father. I mean, I really didn't have a father. My mother was married and divorced 5 times. Every time that I basically turned around, I was trying to figure out who my dad was. I had a new brother, a new sister throughout my growing up. My mom, I had a sister that was born in San Antonio. I was probably 3-4 years old. Living down there, and my mom said that I would see a man walking down the sidewalk, and I'd run out there and say, "Are you my dad? Are you my dad?" Now listen. The thing is I ended up with a dad. I ended up with a father, but I ended up with a spiritual father because somewhere in this whole process, I planted and set roots down in a community, and basically there were spiritual fathers. And I learned how to be a father. Not because of my natural experience, but because there were spiritual men that walked with me. And that wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have planted myself in the house of God. I want to tell you this morning, I want to just encourage you. I always want to lead people. I never want to beat people up. But if you're here this morning and you just have this thing where it's just like, well, I just don't know if I should really commit or if I should, listen, commit. Commit and bear fruit. Put some roots down. It's worth it. It's basically fruitful. It's kingdom. It's provision. It's everything that you need. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. We're going to get to that. But set some roots down. And this is a good church. I know these people. I'd go to church. You know, I'd go to church here if I was here. Oh, well, that was really good. Number two, serving influence. There was a parenting influence, and then there's a serving influence. In 1 Samuel 1:27 through 28, Hannah Hannah basically, we see her basically, it's written, "For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I ask of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he's dedicated to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And then we see in 1 Samuel 2, verse 18, "Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod." See, the story goes on that Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord and thus to service. And in that service, Samuel was placed in a position of being taught, instructed, and it's essential to hearing the voice of God. See, if you're going to serve, what do you need? You need instructions. I want to serve. Well, let me give you some instructions. And serving God and serving God's people is the most glorious thing that there is. Jesus said, "He who would be great in the kingdom must become the servant of all." Jesus never said that it wasn't good. Listen, I want to be great in the kingdom. I do. I want to make a mark. I want to be great in the kingdom. You know what? I see the pathway. It's servant leadership. It's servant leadership. And Samuel learned to hear the voice of God by serving. You place yourself in a position of needing instruction. Number three, mentoring influence. This is what trained Samuel, mentoring influence. 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. It says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And the word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent." Can I just stop right there? Let me read that again. "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and the word from the Lord was rare in those days." You know why? You know why I believe that? Because I don't think there were people that were positioned to hear from God. "And it happened at the time that Eli was lying down in his place, and now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. That the Lord called to Samuel and he said, 'Here I am.' And then he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you've called me.' But he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' So he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you've called me.' But he answered, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. And so the Lord called Samuel again for a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you've called me.' And then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you, you shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And so Samuel went down, lay in his place. The Lord came, stood, and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel!' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" Wow. See, whatever we may think of Eli and his sons, because if you know the story, his sons were like evil, bad. And he was actually not a good father either, because he wouldn't deal with his sons, and he actually cost him his life. But sometimes people have this kind of misguided thing where they just say, "Look, would you have committed?" I mean, they knew this. Hannah and Elkanah knew this. Everyone knew what was going on with Phinehas and Hophni. They knew what was going on with Eli's sons. But yet they dedicated their son to that house. They said, "We're still going to church. It's not perfect, but we're still going to church. Because we're going to honor God in this whole thing." And Samuel learned how to hear from God in an imperfect place. See, a lot of times we're looking for the perfect church. Perfect pastor. Love him. He's awesome. Listen, just hang around for a while. We're probably going to say some stuff you don't like. I tell you, the people that I'm the most wary about are the ones that come and say, "Man, there's no church like this church right here." I'll just give it about a month, honey. Because y'all gonna feel some people here. You feel me? Y'all gonna run into some real people here. Y'all gonna run into some broken people here. You're not gonna run into pretend perfect people here. You're gonna run into people like me and like you. And guess what? Sometimes they got limps, they got warts. Sometimes their breath is bad. Sometimes their teeth is not good. You know what I'm saying? This is not perfect, but it's on the way to perfection. And if you'll stay in here and you'll plant yourself in community, you will find that God will teach you how to minister to people. I mean, that's what God wants to do. God will use the difficulties of community to shape us. God will even use offenses. Pastor, I'm so offended. Well, let's see. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. I want to teach you how to hear from God. Jesus said that offenses will come your way. If you have aught with your brother, go to him. Listen, it's pretty easy. It's right. It's blueprint 101. But you know what happens? Is that people go, well, bro, I'm just kind of offended with Sean. Would you pray with me? Have you talked to Sean first? No. Then go to him, and I'll be praying for you while you go work that thing out. Because that's Bible. I just taught him how to hear from God. But if you don't want to hear from God and do it the right way, guess what? It will not turn out well. Just be Bible. Just be people. We see that Jesus encountered... Man, that's really good stuff right there, isn't it? It's like, dang. We see that Jesus encountered Paul on the road to Damascus, and he instructed Saul at the time to seek out a servant named Ananias. It said in Acts 9:10, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And he spoke to him about laying hands on Saul, and he would regain his sight. Now, this is, to me, it's crazy good. Because, Saul, the Bible says Saul had been murdering. I mean, he had been just releasing murderous threats against the church. We see that in Acts when Stephen was stoned, that they laid Stephen's coat at Saul's feet. I mean, we're talking bad man. And then he's on the road to Damascus, and the Spirit of God, Jesus, just boom, just encountered him, had him flat on his back. Don't you think God could have told him everything he needed right then? He didn't. He said, now I want you to get up, and I want you to go talk. There's a flesh and blood guy over here that's had his ear inclined to hear me, and he's going to make a change in your life. See, God prepared a man named Samuel that could and would hear his voice to touch a man named Saul in the Old Testament. And God prepared a man named Ananias that could and would hear his voice to change a man named Saul in the New Testament. Can you see how important it is to hear from God? Learning how to hear God through his word, through his spirit, is absolutely critical for you and I as disciples. Now listen, I want to just kind of add one thing, because we see that in Samuel, we see that his parents were praying parents, that they were dedicated. And you know, a lot of us, maybe we weren't raised up like that. So how do I get that? Well, I believe that the church is the family of God. And the Bible says that God sets the solitary into family. And this is the most amazing place to learn how to hear from God. You can practice on people. Have you ever thought about that? That there's a learning thing? Have you ever had a child that's just practicing and it's like, wow, I think I got a word for this brother. I think God's spoken to me, but can you help me? Can there be a witness? I'm open to correction. I might have got it right because sometimes I don't hear as clear as I should, but there's a training process. And you can do that when you're set in. You can do that when you're planted. Hearing the sound that God is making will change our families, will change our marriages, will change the marketplace, will change the community. Hearing the sound that God is making will change our nation. Hearing the sound that God is making and reproducing it will change the world. And I believe that there are people here this morning that God wants to speak to. I believe that there has been a noise, there's been a distraction, there's been a diversion, there's been some, just like something has been diluted in your life, and it's been a while since you have really heard clearly the sound of God. Could I have a musician, Anson, or somebody could just come up and help me? I want to just kind of bring this down to a close this morning. And I want to just say this to you. There is a competition for your Shema. Adam heard the sound of God. And there is a competition for your undivided attention. Now, God wants to give you His undivided attention. He wants to speak to you. It's not, I really don't believe that it's about God withholding His voice. It's about us getting into a place where we can incline. I will set myself on the rampart. I will position myself to hear what He's saying to me. Have you ever been engaged in a conversation with somebody and you realize, you know, I mean, you're talking to them and you realize they're kind of like this? You just go, wow, okay. Man, I think that's how God is with us at times. He wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us. There's been the noise of distraction. We know distracted driving kills. Distracted hearing kills. It kills dreams. It kills vision. It kills purpose. It kills destiny. And it could be this morning that you need to reposition yourself. It may be that you need to be reminded that God does want to speak to you. It may be that you need to be reminded that he loves you, that He wants to guide and direct you. He wants to use you to be a blessing to others. Would you just bow your hearts and heads with me this morning? If you're here this morning, first of all, and you've never given your heart to Christ, you've never crossed that faith line. In Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10, it says that if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died and was raised up on the third day, we profess and confess Him, we believe that He's Lord and Savior. The Bible says we're saved. It's surrendering to the invitation of God that's being, it's surrendering to the greatest rescue that the earth has ever seen and becoming a believer, becoming a Christian, saying, this is my day. If you're here this morning, nobody's looking around, please. Every head bowed and eye closed. But if you're here this morning and you say, today's the day where I want to cross that faith line and I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior, if today is that day, I want you to slip your hand up, raise your hand up right where you're at. Let me pray with you right where you're at. Today's the day. Stepping across the faith line of belief. I'm going to position myself because God wants to speak into my life. If you're here this morning and you recognize, man, I have not heard from God. I've just been out of position. There's been distractions. There's been just stuff. There's been noise that's gotten in the way. And if today's the day where you realize, I want to hear from God, it's so important. Slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. I believe that God wants to open ears this morning. He wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He can speak to you through His Word, through His Spirit. He can speak to you through flesh and blood that carries the Spirit of God, but God is moving in a way, and there are people that are dying because He, just like the prophet said, He's given me an instructed tongue so that I might have a word for the weary. There's weary people. So, Father, I pray right now for every person that's raising their hand, just responding. God, I just pray You open their ears. Open their ears. Oh, just the clutter. It's almost like there's a clutter that's coming into your life, that has come into your life. You haven't recognized it. All you've tried to do is really make a pathway through it. And God is saying, I want to get rid of the clutter. I don't want it to be a deterrent. I want to make your pathway straight. You've been walking through stuff. You've been walking around stuff. And listen, the straightest point, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, and God wants a straight line to your hearing. He wants a straight line to your heart, and every little detour, every little distraction, every little thing that hasn't been, every crooked pathway has diverted you, and I believe that this morning God wants to change that in your life. Clear it away. Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, just speak. Just show people even the things that have cluttered. Oh, man, that's gotten in the way. I've become way too focused on that. I can't let that keep me from hearing from God, because too much is at stake. Too much is at stake. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. I'm so excited to hear what God is saying to us in this season. We love you. We bless you. In your name we pray. Amen. Can you just give the Lord a praise this morning? He is so good.
Good. Appreciate that word. That's rich and timely. And it's very, very important for us to be those who understand that hearing God's voice is really part of discipleship as well. I might have our ushers that are here to hand out offering envelopes. Please go ahead and take those if you would. We're going to receive a love offering for this couple. They came here again with no demands as far as finances go. We want to be a blessing to them. So be generous in this offering. If you do that, please make your checks out. If you're writing a check to Tree of Life Church, we'll make sure all that goes to them as well. And we're just so glad they had time to be here with us. While you're preparing your offerings, I just want to kind of give a brief little teaching myself. I have a real passion about hearing God's voice because it goes right along with the book I'm writing right now on the progressive Christian life revealed by the tribes, the sons who were born to Jacob. Those 12 sons, that first one, that first progression named Reuben, it means God has seen my misery. It means God has taken us out of darkness into light. The symbol for Reuben is a rising sun. The path of righteousness is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter. And all the symbols of Reuben talk about all the old things going away. Behold, all things become new. It means getting born again. And it means all the hurts and wounds from the past, like Leah had herself, because of her rejection that she received from her own husband, are being erased by the blood of Christ, by Christ coming inside of our lives. Leah's second son was named Simeon. Simeon's name means one who hears what God says and obeys what he says. The symbol of Simeon is the crystal. And all of our electronics today around the world receive two-way communication because of crystals. And so Simeon is one who hears God's voice. And when you're hearing God's voice, you're able to obey God's voice. You'll go to the third progression. That third progression is the one whose name was actually Levi. And Levi means one who's joined, one who forms covenant relationships. The reason so many marriages fail, so many folks bounce around from church to church and job to job, they didn't really hear God's voice to begin with when they got involved in that covenant relationship. They tried to form covenant not hearing God's voice. As Jeff and Robbie mentioned, being married for 36 years, Cheryl and I have been married now for 35 years, coming up here pretty soon ourselves this year. There's always times where you say, you might ask yourself, in those 30-some years, did you really marry the right person? I know I heard God's voice over 35 years ago that God made it very clear to me, this is the woman I have for you. What that means is there's no other woman on the face of the earth, as far as God's concerned, to be better suited for me or me for her than she is and I am in Jesus' name. And so by hearing God's voice for a church, a job, a place to live at, when all those distractions, distortions, and negative things happen, we say, but wait, I heard what God said. And because I know God always knows best, and God is love, and God is wise, I don't care what my feelings or circumstances dictate. I am in covenant now, and because I'm hearing God, I won't find myself flipping around by my emotions and my circumstances. I go by faith, by hearing. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And there's 9 progressions beyond that are all about fruitfulness, warfare, bearing fruit, expanding God's kingdom, and finding your destiny. And so many believers never find those other progressions because they get stuck in Reuben. My misery, my misery, my misery, my misery is all they deal with because they're not hearing the voice of God. There's a second progression of 12 that God has for all of us. So important to be hearing God's voice. Let's have our ushers come to the front. Let's pray this offering, this couple as well. Let's speak blessings to them. God's got good things in store for them for the future as well, even more so. Father, we praise you and thank you for this precious couple of God, Jeff and Robbie Eklund. We thank you for all the fruit they have borne, but also, Father God, for the future fruit they will bear down the road. We speak blessings on their sons, their sister, their daughters-in-law, their grandchildren, their congregation. We say, may they, O God, find their destinies. May they, Father God, find themselves doing the will of God and bearing fruit that remains in great measure, God, even more than they imagine themselves. Bless them, O God, in Dallas as they travel there for this convention. May it, Father God, be something where they're hearing your voice even during that time, that it brings forth a spiritual deposit that brings a blessing not just for them, but also those they influence in the name of Jesus. We praise you, God. What is sown this day is sown in obedience. May it be used for your glory in Jesus' name. God bless you, ushers. You wait upon the people here now for tithes and offerings. And again, while you're receiving this, I want to say thank you to all those who came to the leadership conference yesterday, leadership teaching time. There is CDs to be available for that. For those who could not come that are in leadership, we'll have CDs available for you to receive. I want to say thank you to all those who provided the tables, the food, put things together here again, like Tiffany, like Iris, like Jack Adams, all those involved with that. I appreciate your help so much with that as well. If you guys can, come back Wednesday night. We're going to go into the fourth teaching here on the heroes of the Old Testament. There's going to be great spiritual truths released in that teaching as well. If you can come back, you'll be blessed by that. You'll be glad you came. I've asked Pastor Jeff and Robbie to go ahead and be here for a little while to pray for individuals. If you want to receive prayer for anything at all, they'll be available to talk to you, to pray with you. And may God just bless this week. If you're also, what's that again? Oh, yeah. We're going to let Susan just go here. She has something to share as well. And Maria, are you prepared also for the guests? If the first-time guests that are here, do you have a little gift for them? Maria, just raise your hand, wave if you would. If you're a first-time guest, Maria's got a little fruit deal, a little cup she wants to release to you as well, a little gift. She'll be back at the back there for that. And then Susan wants to share some things here as well, I think the Lord has for us.
Well, this was a very interesting message because for those of you who are new, once in a while the Lord will give me a word or a vision, and he'll give me the meaning of that. And so sometimes he tells me to share it publicly, and other times I just share it with pastors. Today, actually it started yesterday, I was at the leadership meeting, and I saw something, a couple of things that I shared with you, but it wasn't complete, and the Lord really hadn't shared with me what that was. This morning in prayer, I will tell you that it was a battle, because the enemy did not want me to finish the prayer. He sent many distractions. I usually record it so I can transcribe it. The recorder didn't record. My granddaughter lives with me. She came in crying because her something was too tight, and she had scratched herself in the middle of the prayer. There was just an attempt so that this thing did not come forth today. But during praise and worship, he completed the message that he had for you. But this morning, I received something that I was seeing for you. So if y'all will just bear with me for just a minute, if I may, to share this, because I was concerned about whether I was supposed to share it now or just in private, and the Lord said no. But I believe that it has to do with hearing and stepping out and being the obedient. So what I saw for you was there was the church that I saw that was on, it was up on a cliff, and the church itself inside, it was filled with the glory of God. But then I saw a gas can, and then I saw the church engulfed in flames. It wasn't burning, it wasn't like destroyed, it was just engulfed in flames. But this morning, what I saw, and trying to make it in short, was I see the visions, and the Lord gives me what the word is. I saw that church, actually, the dirt that it was on, I saw that piece fall into like a ravine, which would have seemed like a bad thing. But actually, when that happened, what you saw then that you didn't see before was this massive building that actually was much bigger than the little church. And what I came to see that building was, it's the White House. And then back behind the White House was a dome. And that dome represented the Kremlin. And there was a young boy in the Kremlin or the Ukraine that I saw growing up, that either there's an attachment there, there's going to be an attachment there for you with this young man. And I have to tell you, this is something I have never done before. This is new for me to give a specific word like this about a specific event. So I believe that this is my obedience and stepping out. So, Lord, let it be rightly divided from your lips to their ears. And that then there was a light in one of the rooms of the White House that then became filled with God's glory. And there's a connection there for you. This is a change of, the Lord's bringing a change of season for you. And it has something to do with service, you amongst others, with a circle of influence for the leaders in the White House. And there was also, though, an admonition there. And it has something to do somehow with the connection with this young boy in the Ukraine or in Russia. Don't know, but you know, the Lord knows. But there was an admonition there, is the enemy will try to prick your pride. And so be careful that pride does not rise up with the power and the authority and the position that the Lord puts you in. So that was that. This morning, as we were in praise and worship, I saw a flame, but I saw a faucet, and it was fall, and there were leaves blowing. When you started to sing, there was the faucet was dry. There was nothing coming out of the faucet. But as you started to sing, then there was a trickle coming out of the faucet. And what the Lord showed me is that there have been blockages, and there's been an attempt to keep whatever it is that he's wanting to come forth from you in your power and your anointing, and that there's been a real, there's been an assignment, and there's been a blockage there. And so... it was my job. He told me to pray. So that's what I was doing. But what I saw is that I saw you come down, and along with Pastor, and it was just Pastor Cheryl, but Pastor Cheryl, the two of you together, you praying over her first. And I was at praying the Lord would give you and download to you whatever it is you are supposed to pray for her, and to unleash and unlock whatever needs to be released, because then you are supposed to pray for us. And that faucet then became wide open, because this morning there was the glory of the Lord was here flowing, and it was the glory of his our temple was filled with his train. And it was, you know, we've talked about how we've seen before his living water up here, but it was gold this morning. And I saw that as the two of you, as pastors, you prayed for her, and then you prayed, but you two still were connected. Your faucet flowed, but it flowed into the gold river that was already here. And that was the word that I got. So...
All right, good. We'll make sure that we're going to have this time here again, but she's going to be praying, releasing that to her as well. Just let the Holy Spirit just minister that to, and Cheryl to Robbie here as well, and Robbie over us, to make sure it's going to happen this day as well. Well, let's go ahead and let's all stand to our feet, please, and just take all that's been released today in the Word, the worship, the prophetic things that are happening here among us as well. Let's take these things to hearts, and let's just say, God, work inside of me what you want to work in me. Oh, Father God, breathe on this word as released today. And let me, Father God, be one who's hearing your voice. My ears are being anointed and operating, God, by in obedience. Whatever you say, I will do in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you, God, and thank you, Lord, for this congregation. Bless this people, oh, Lord, this day. Use us, oh, God, each one for your glory. Help us, God, have divine opportunities this week to be the feet, the hands, the heart, the hand, the mind of Christ, the voice of Christ, for those around us we come in contact with. Let, oh God, your heart be in us. Let it, God, flow to others around us. And we praise you, God, that your joy also that is our strength shall permeate our lives. We say, Father God, give us, Lord, this day your grace to be able to love our families, love those around us we come in contact with. Bring us back here in the future, we pray, rejoicing in all the good things you've done in us and through us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Praise God. Love this couple again. We'll be at the front here. The Eklunds will be here. God bless you. You're dismissed to go ahead and go. If you guys can come back here Wednesday night, do that, please. We're going to see God give us a good word this week.